Let's just paste this image of a table in here, and then write create an interactive infographic. Oh my god, this is way too easy. Alright, let's try this. Create an ant colony searching for food. Use pheromone trails and basic AI rules to show ants exploring and optimizing paths. Holy smokes! This is ridiculous! Alright, how about this? Create an interactive periodic table where users can hover over elements to see properties and animations for atomic structure. And if I hover over each one, it indeed shows me the properties plus an animation of the atomic structure. This is crazy! Alright, let's try this. Create a 3D simulation of an intricate futuristic city with skyscrapers and highways. And let's turn on the extended thinking mode for this. Oh my god, are you kidding me? This is insane! So Anthropic has been silent for many months, but finally this week they released their newest model, Claude 3.5.1 version 2, Thinking Experimental Haiku. No, I'm just kidding. It's called Claude 3.7 Sonnet. You might be wondering, what happened to 3.6? Who knows? Or why not call it Claude 4? Nobody knows, it's just what it is. These AI startup folks are really good at naming things and not making us confused. Anyways, in this video I'm gonna go over how to use Claude 3.7. I'll show you some insane capabilities so that you can get a sense of what it can and cannot do. Plus, we'll go over its performance and benchmarks compared to other AI models. Let's jump right in. Thanks to HubSpot for sponsoring this video. Alright, first let's go over where you can actually use Claude 3.7. It's actually available on many platforms, so of course one option is Claude's own site, which is claude.ai. I'll link to this in the description below, but note that to create an account, you do need to provide a phone number, which is of course not ideal. So if you don't want to reveal your phone, there are other places you can use this, such as Monica, which I'll link to in the description below, I got a nice discount code for you, or ChatLLM by Apicus AI, or Poe. I'll link to all of these in the description below. And these platforms do not require a phone number to create an account. Plus, it's also available in Cursor, so you can use Claude 3.7 directly in a code editor. In this video, I'm just going to use the native Claude interface. So over here, you can see that it already selects Claude 3.7 by default. Now, Claude 3.7 features what they call hybrid reasoning capabilities, and this enhances its ability in problem solving and reasoning. This would be especially useful in sciences, math, and coding, just to name a few examples. And it also has this extended thinking feature, which allows it to think for longer, and this is better for complex reasoning and problem-solving tasks. By the way, this feature is basically the same as DeepSeek's Deep Think feature, as well as OpenAI's Reason feature, as well as Grok's Think feature. Of course, you can get it to do regular stuff like summarization, or translation, or chatting or writing. But honestly, all the top AI models can already do this very well. There's not really a big difference between them. Where Claude 3.7 really shines is its understanding of coding, math, data, and science. So I'm going to go over mostly these types of examples in this video so you can see how good Claude 3.7 actually is. Let's start with some data examples. It's so easy to create graphs and charts and infographics with this. You can upload an image or attach a document like a CSV file, or even link it to any document in your Google Drive. I'm going to upload this image of a table. I'm not even going to upload the actual table, but just this image. And then I'm going to write, turn this table into an interactive infographic. Make it visually appealing. This is a key phrase that you'll see me use a lot throughout this tutorial. And then use CSS, JS, and HTML in a single HTML file. Again, this is a key phrase I like to use to keep everything within one standalone file. Anyways, let's press enter and see what that gives us. Alright, and here's what we get. How cool is that? So it breaks this down by brands and also gender. So if we click on Coca-Cola only, it only shows me all the stats for Coke. It even gives you the most popular Coke among women, among men, and the biggest gender gap. And then here is Pepsi only. Very nice. And then here are all brands. a really nice looking infographic just from one image of a data table. So you can see how this is super useful for creating charts or infographics for reports and presentations. All right, next, I'm going to start a new chat, and here's what I'm going to do. I have this Excel table with a bunch of correlations between different animals. Now, let's just paste all this data into Claude and get it to create some graph from this. So for the prompt, I'm going to write, turn this table into an interactive network graph. Make it visually appealing. This is a key phrase I like to use, and it tends to make the design look a lot nicer. Use CSS, JS, and HTML in a single HTML file. And then let me press Shift Enter to start a new line. And what I'm going to do is actually just copy all this data and then paste it in here. So this is all our data. Let's press Generate and see what it comes up with. And the nice thing about Claude is it has this artifacts feature, which basically shows you the code output and also a live preview of the code after it's done. Now, I would say it's not as fast as OpenAI or Gemini or DeepSeek, so it does take like a few seconds for it to finish coding this up. All right, and here's what we get. Holy smokes! This is so cool. Now, I could just play around with this here, but because this window is kind of squashed, let me actually copy this whole code by pressing this copy button, and then somewhere on my computer, I'm going to create a new HTML file. So I'm going to select text document first, and then we can change the extension to HTML. So I'm just going to call it test.html, and then press yes to change the extension, and then let's right click and open this in Notepad, but you can open it in another code editor if you want. So again, back to here, I'm going to copy all this code and then paste it in here, press Control S to save it, and now if I open this HTML file in my web browser, notice that I can open this entire app and it's full screen. So how cool is that? It indeed creates a network graph of everything. Now let's test out all these settings. If I increase the repulsion force, it looks like they come together. If I decrease the repulsion force, it looks like they are more repelled by each other and the data is more spread apart. And then let's see, can I click and drag these connections around? Yes, I can. How cool is that? And then what about link distance? Let me try adjusting this higher. Okay, so it looks like the links just get longer. If I drag this smaller, then it looks like the links get smaller. Very interesting. And then what about relatedness threshold? Let me increase this slider. And it looks like as I increase it, some of these connections break apart. And if I drag this all the way to 1, then none of these animals are connected. And then if I decrease the threshold again, we start to see these linkages form between different species. So it looks like this determines like how related two species are before it forms a linkage. Very interesting. If I hover over any of these, you can see the connections. So for fox, it has two connections. It's 75% with bear and 70% with wolf. Of course, this is just made up data. But let's check if this is correct. So let's see, fox and bear are indeed 75%. Fox and wolf are indeed 70%. This is completely correct. And then let's hover over this tiger connection. It has three connections. With the lion, it's 95%. Leopard is 80%. Cheetah is 70%. Let's double check this. So lion with tiger, 95%. That is correct. With leopard, it's 80%. That is also correct. With cheetah, it's 70%. And that is also correct. Super cool tool. So there you have it. Here is a fully functional network graph of all these animals with adjustable settings, and it's fully interactive. You can adjust all these settings. This is incredible. Again, it got everything in just one shot. All right, I'm going to start a new chat. This time, let's try to get it to code some cool apps. So here the prompt is create a standalone HTML page. Here's another key phrase I like to use, where I can upload a video and it will transform the video into black and white dots. Include sliders to adjust dot size. Allow me to preview the original video and transformed video side by side. Let's click generate and see what that gives us. All right, here's what we get. Now again, because this view is kind of squashed, I'm just going to take this code and then copy it And then back to our HTML file, I'm going to get rid of this previous code and then paste in the new code and then press Ctrl S to save it. Or you can also click up here to save. Now, if we refresh this HTML file, you can see this new video to dots converter. Now, let's see if this works. Let me upload a video. All right, so upload video works. And if I play this, it magically transforms this into a video with black and white dots. How insane is that? Let me actually keep looping this. And then here we can adjust the dot size. So here's one. Here's increasing the dot size, very nice. We can adjust the dot spacing, so here we are adding more spacing to the dots. This is so cool. And then brightness threshold, this basically determines what areas should be black and what areas should be white. Let me decrease the dot size a bit and decrease the spacing as well. And then let's click on play and pause, and indeed it plays and pauses the video. How insane is that? Just from one prompt, without needing to prompt it further, it coded this fully functional page that can turn a video into black and white dots with adjustable settings, and everything just magically works. All right, let's try something crazy. So for the prompt, I'm going to write in a standalone HTML page using 3.js. This is a key phrase I like to use. 3.js is a very useful library for creating 3D animations. And we are going to create a 3D simulation of an intricate futuristic city with skyscrapers and highways. Make the design and visuals look amazing. This is another key phrase I like to include into prompts for Claude. Otherwise, it might create more boring, dull generations. So if you get it to make the design amazing, it's actually going to put more effort into making it look nice. And then include sliders for day and night and other effects. Be creative, do not use any other dependencies. This is a key phrase I like to use to keep everything contained in one functional file. And actually for this, because this is quite a complex prompt, we're generating an entire 3D city, I'm going to go down here and select this extended thinking feature. So this gets it to think for a long time, and in theory, its response should be better. Let's click generate and see what that gives us. All right, here's what we get. Holy smokes! Are you kidding me? Well, before we go into the city, let's actually look at its thinking process. Because we did turn on this extended thinking mode, we can actually expand this and look at how it thinks through everything before it outputs some code for us. So here it's listing all the requirements. I'll need to create a full HTML page that includes all of these things. Let me design a solution that includes all of these. I'll now create a complete HTML artifact that includes all the necessary code. And here we have our code. We can like drag our mouse around to move around the city. In fact, because this window is kind of squashed, let me click on this code and then copy everything here. And then using our test HTML file, I'm going to paste all the code in here, press Ctrl S to save it, and open it up in any web browser. So here we go. Here's our city. How insane is that? So if I scroll on my mouse, it's going to zoom in and out. Very nice. And if I adjust the camera height, you can see it is indeed adjusting the camera height. All right, now let's see what this fog does. So if I increase the fog, all right, it kind of makes it look more polluted. You can barely see anything now. The fog is black for some reason. If we decrease the fog, you can see that, wow, that is so cool. So if we set this fog to zero, then the sky becomes a lot clearer. Let me adjust this slider again so you can see what happens. How cool is that? Okay, and then we have time of day. So right now it's daytime. Let me adjust this slider. Oh my god, that's pretty crazy. You can even see the sky turning orange and then sun setting. And then now it's turning into a night sky with actual stars in the sky. This is insanely detailed. Speaking of prompts for Claude, here's a free and awesome resource by HubSpot. When I use Claude or other AI models, I find that adding certain key phrases and prompts makes a huge difference, and that's why I want to share a free resource with you that's going to help tremendously. Inside, you'll discover how to set up Claude as your personal executive assistant that manages your entire workflow, learns your preferences, and maintains context across your projects. It also breaks down how to create living documents with artifacts that automatically update as your business evolves, plus how to build interactive dashboards that analyze your data without needing a data science team. I especially like the section on real-world applications like market intelligence, operational metrics, and financial analysis. The Content Marketing Revolution chapter shows how Claude can transform your entire content strategy by adopting writing styles to different audiences while maintaining your brand voice across all channels. Best of all, the bundle is absolutely free. Simply click the link in the description below and get instant access. The bundle is made by this video's sponsor, HubSpot. By the way, when I start to drag it over here and have the sun set, notice the shadows in the skyscrapers. So it's actually simulating a sun setting. You can see the shadows among all these buildings, and then the sky turning orange, and then finally turning into a night sky. And if I drag this the other way, let's see what happens. Okay, this is probably sunrise or something. And then let's test out this neon intensity. If I drag this all the way to the highest value, I guess the buildings look more neon. Let me adjust the camera height a bit. And then if I set this all the way to zero, okay, so it just turns off these neon colors. If I set this back to one, notice how there are now colors on these buildings. Okay, and then let me turn this back into daytime. Let me zoom in a bit and then decrease the camera height. Okay, so I see these like floating cars in this futuristic city. What happens if I increase the traffic density? Indeed, we do kind of see more flying cars everywhere. And this is indeed a futuristic city. Everything looks very detailed. You can even change the time of day. It even simulates a sunrise and sunset and stars in the night sky. This is so impressive. And keep in mind, it got everything in just one prompt. Now, this is so cool, I actually want to share this with you so you can take a look at the prompt and also play around with the code. So if I click on this share button, and then click share. Now this is a public link that anyone can view. So let me copy this link and I'll paste it somewhere in the description so you can see this in action. This is only one prompt using the extended thinking feature, and you can create an entire freaking 3D city with this. Absolutely insane. All right, I'm going to start a new chat. Next, let's get it to create a web page. I'm going to take a screenshot of Hugging Face. All right, so let me just screenshot everything up to here and then paste it in here. And then I'm going to write clone this web page in a standalone HTML file. Let's click generate and see what that gives us. By the way, it doesn't have to be HTML. I think by default, it codes everything in React. But you can also get it to code just plain HTML or Python or any other framework or language. And here we go. This is crazy. This looks really similar to the actual Hugging Face site, except for, you know, some slight differences in the font and also some logos, which it might not have access to. So you can use Claude 3.7 to easily clone existing websites or design wireframes. All right, let me open a new chat. Like I mentioned before, Claude 3.7 excels in STEM, so like science, coding, and math. So let's try this. Write a p5.js script. This is another key phrase I like to use in my prompts. This basically uses a JavaScript library for creating animations. So we're gonna simulate an ant colony searching for food. Use pheromone trails and basic AI rules to show ants exploring and optimizing paths. Include controls the user can adjust in real time. Let's see if it can figure this out. All right, so it gave me this. Now, this is just a raw p5.js script, so it's not going to be able to preview this here, it seems. But that's okay, we can copy this code, and then using this handy online p5 editor, which I'll link to in the description below, we can simply paste in the code here and then press play. How insane is that? So here we have these ants moving around and finding food. So here it seems like these green blocks are the food. So if I increase the ant count, let's see what happens. All right, now we have a ton of ants. And once they've located food, you can see the ants are now turning green and then returning the food back to the colony. And then if I increase the ant's speed, you can see they move a lot faster. If I decrease the ant's speed, they move a bit slower. So ant speed works. Pheromone strength, I believe this is like how much they influence each other. So once the ant finds food, how much do they tell other ants around them that, hey, there's a food source here, let's go and collect this food. So if we increase this strength, then it should lead to more ants going towards these sources of food. And if we decrease the pheromone strength, then it seems like they are influencing each other less. And then over here, random movement, let's increase this. And it does look like they are walking more randomly now. Let's see what happens if we add obstacles. Let's try to add an obstacle like here. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, little ant. I didn't mean to add an obstacle right on you. So it looks like the ant is stuck. So let me click on clear obstacles. And indeed, it does clear the obstacle. Next, let me add a food source somewhere over here and then see what happens. Alright, so we have a few ants detecting this food source, and they are now going back to the colony. Let me increase the ant count, increase the ant speed, and decrease the random movement. One more thing I want to try is let's add an obstacle right in the middle of this trail, and you can see the ants are now avoiding this obstacle. Alright, let me add another one here. And so you can see the ants now need to move around this obstacle. A really cool demo. Here we have a fully functional simulation of an ant colony with options for you to insert more food items or insert obstacles. Again, it got everything in just one prompt, which is really impressive. And even if it doesn't, you can probably just prompt it a few more times and it would fix the issue for you. Alright, next let's do a chemistry example. So the prompt is write a p5.js script. Again, this is a really useful library for animations and visualizations that simulates a dynamic periodic table where users hover over elements to see properties and electron configurations with animations for atomic structure. Let's click generate and see what that gives us. Note that I used the same prompt in Grok, however, it did not give me animations for atomic structure. Let's see if Claude 3.7 can do any better. Alright, so here's what we get. Note that, again, if we use p5.js, for some reason it won't let us preview this in Claude, so I'll need to copy all of this code, and then going back to our HTML file, let me paste in the code and press Ctrl+S to save it. And if we refresh the page, here's what we get. Now, note that it did not give me all the elements on the periodic table. It probably ran out of room, but for now, let's just test this out. So if I hover over H, it indeed gives me the atomic number, atomic weight, electron configuration, even a description, plus at the bottom here, it gives me an animation of the atomic structure. How cool is that? Now, if I hover over lithium, again, it gives me all the information, and it seems correct to me, and the animation also looks correct to me. It does have three electrons, with two electrons in the innermost shell and one electron in the outer shell. And then here is sodium, which also looks correct, so it should have two electrons in the first orbit, eight in the second orbit, and one in the outer orbit. Alright, let's move on to magnesium. And again, the animation looks correct. Very nice. And then here is calcium. Again, everything looks accurate to me. Here is boron with atomic number 5. Here is phosphorus. And then let me just hover over a few more of these so you can see that it is indeed accurate. And then here are the stable gases like argon, neon, helium. And everything looks correct to me. I'm really impressed by this atomic structure animation. We did not see that in Grok 3. So you can see with Claude 3.7, you can easily create visualizations for science and other fields. This could be a game changer in education. All right, I'm going to start a new chat. Let's try a math visualization. So the prompt is write a p5.js script that visualizes the Monte Carlo method for pi approximation. Randomly place points inside a square and see how they estimate the value of pi over time. I'll explain this in a second, and then include controls the user can adjust in real time. This is another key phrase I like to use, because if you don't include this, then some of the time the animation or visualization just starts immediately and you can't really pause the animation, you can't adjust the view or any other settings, and that's why I like to include this key phrase. Anyways, let's click generate and see what that gives us. All right, here's what we get. And interestingly, this time it does show up in the preview window. So let me press reset simulation. Now, for non-math folks out there who have no idea what's going on, let me explain this really quickly. So the number pi, 3.14, this is a very special and important number that's seen across everything in life. And we use this value to calculate the area of a circle, for example, plus a lot of other stuff. Now, how did we come up with this value? Well, here's one way. So let me press reset again. If you draw a circle inside a square so that the circle touches all four sides of the square, and then you randomly place points anywhere inside the square. So some of these points could be within the circle, some of these points could be outside of the circle. And then if you count how many points are in the circle divided by the total number of points, and then you times 4, it actually gives you the value of pi. So let me reset this again. And that's how you would calculate this value. Let me adjust these settings now. So if we adjust points per frame, you can see it fills this up really quickly. Let me adjust this to 1 to slow it down, and then press reset simulation. Okay. And then point size, let me increase this. All right, so you can see the points are now bigger. Let me decrease this, so the points are now smaller. And then here you can see like how many points are inside the circle, how many points are there in total, what's the estimated pi value, and then what's the error rate. So if we speed this up slightly, you can see that as this fills up with more points, we get closer to the real value of pi, and the error rate should go down. So let me increase this a bit further. So you can see it's slowly moving towards the value of 3.14, and then the error is going down. So let me decrease this back to 1, and then click on reset simulation, and then let's see what density plot does. Very interesting. So it turns these dots into squares. I'm not really sure what's going on with this density plot, but nevertheless, here's a completely working Monte Carlo simulation for estimating the value of pi. The animation looks beautiful, and all the settings work. And it does all of this from just one prompt. Really impressive. Alright, so those are some science and math visualization examples. Next, let's look at how good this is in terms of coding up games. So let's try this. Using 3JS, create a Minecraft environment. Include a start and pause button, include a speed slider, and this is another common phrase that I like to include in my prompts. The system autonomously starts building a very intricate and complex castle. Focus on visual appeal, make it look amazing. Let's click generate and see what that gives us. Alright, so here it looks like it has hit the max length for a message and had to pause, so you can see it's not really done coding yet. Let's type continue from the end so that it would continue from here. Alright, so you can see it's continuing from the bottom of the code. Alright, so here's what we get. Let me zoom out first. Let's click on start building. It doesn't seem like we can see anything here. So I think 3.js might not be fully compatible with this Claude preview. So I'm going to click on code and then copy everything here, and then paste it in our test HTML file. So let me press Control S to save it. And then if I open this HTML file up, you can see the ground is now green. So that's a good start. Let's see what happens when we press start building. And here we go. It is starting to build this castle. Now let me increase the speed a bit so you can see this build faster. Very nice. So yeah, keep that in mind. 3JS might not work natively in Claude artifacts. So if it's showing up blank for some reason, then you'll need to copy the code and then open a new HTML file in order to view the working version. How cool is that? So you can see it's now building out the walls of the castle. And if you zoom in, you can even see each of these elements labeled. So for example, here it says brick, here it says stone. How cool is that? And then I can drag my mouse around to view this at another angle. Very, very nice. So it has now finished building out the castle. It says status complete. And if we zoom in a bit, you can see it has built windows along the wall. Very nice. It even built a nice door over here. So I assume that's the entrance. And then here it has a nice wooden roof. Very nice. And there you go. Here is our castle. How cool is that? With just one prompt, we can get it to not only kind of clone Minecraft, but also get an agent to autonomously build a castle in this environment. I've tried this prompt using OpenAI's O3 and Grok 3, but it couldn't get it in just one shot, so this is super impressive. Alright, I'm gonna start a new chat, and the game I usually like to test with these AI models is to create a snake game, but that's way too easy. All the top models could already create an autonomous snake game of two snakes competing with each other. This works for O3 Mini and Grok 3. And by the way, both models are really good as well. If you enjoy this video, definitely check out my full review on Grok 3 over here, as well as my full review on O3 Mini. Okay, back to here. Let's make it slightly harder. I'm going to write create a snake game, and instead of two snakes, I'm going to get 10 snakes to compete autonomously to eat food. Make it visually appealing. Again, this is a key phrase I like to use to just make it a bit more aesthetic. And then use p5.js. Let's click enter and see what that gives us. All right, and here's what we get. So notice that it starts immediately, and it seems like there are 10 snakes. It even shows the score of each snake and which snakes are dead, which snakes are still alive. Right now we are left with just one snake remaining. And then once that snake touches itself, then it's game over and snake one wins with 19 points. Note that there's no start or stop button here, and that's why usually I like to add a phrase like include a start stop button in the prompt, so that it doesn't just play immediately. But anyways, let's click on refresh again. So you can see it starts with 10 snakes and they are competing autonomously with food. And note that the visuals of this look way better than a traditional snake game that you see with older models. Plus this has a really beautiful scoreboard. It keeps track of everything, including which snakes are dead. Plus it has a nice game over screen. Very, very impressive. Next, let's try this. Make a side-scroller platformer game using phaser.js. This is another really useful JavaScript library for creating interactive video games. Use only arrow keys for gameplay. Let's click generate and see what that gives us. Okay, here's what we get. Note that we do see some error messages here, and this is blank. However, I think it's just because Phaser is not compatible with this Claude Chat interface. So I'm just going to copy this code and then again paste it in our test HTML file and then open the file up. All right, so here's what we get. If I move left and right with my arrow keys, the character does move left and right. If I press up, this does jump. So let me try to eat all these coins. And after I do that, I'm curious if it'll actually progress to the next level. Let me try to jump all the... Oh my goodness, how do I even jump all the way up there? Let me try again. There we go. Very nice. So it looks like I can progress to the next level after I eat all the coins. And I think this black dot is actually an enemy. So let me try not to touch this first. Let me just try to eat all the coins and see what happens. Very cool, very cool. So after I eat all the coins, it proceeds to the next level and it adds an extra enemy. And then if I touch the enemy, then it's game over. How cool is that? So not only did it code up a fully functional game, but it even included enemies plus multiple levels in the game with increasing difficulty. Now imagine if you prompt it further, if you keep refining this game, I think using just Claude, you can easily come up with a legit publishable game. Next, I want to test out its reasoning and thinking capabilities. One really good use case I like to use, especially with DeepSeek's thinking mode, is to get it to diagnose medical diseases. So let's try a similar prompt here. A 55-year-old man with a history of hypertension and hyperlipidemia is admitted with chest pain and shortness of breath. Despite medication adherence, his symptoms have progressively worsened over the past month. Examination reveals elevated blood pressure and abnormal lipid profiles. What could be the issue? And then over here, we are going to select this extended feature. And then here you can also choose the style. So let's go with explanatory, which will give you more educational responses for learning. So let's click generate and see what that gives us. Note that if we turn on that extended thinking feature, we can see into its thought process, and we can expand this to see what that looks like. So here you can see it's organizing key information. Here's the patient information. Here are the symptoms. Here are the physical exam findings. So potential diagnoses to consider is coronary artery disease, most likely given his risk factors, etc., etc. Or it also could be heart failure, or it can also be aortic dissection associated with uncontrolled hypertension. It could also be pulmonary embolism and all these other causes. And then it says, given the age, risk factors, and symptom pattern, coronary artery disease is the most likely diagnosis. The next most likely diagnosis would be heart failure, potentially as a complication of his hypertension. And then it even gives you some actionable items. So that's just its thinking process. And then here's its final answer. So here's the primary concern, and then the patient may also be experiencing this, which requires urgent evaluation. Other important considerations are these ones, and then it gives you recommended next steps, which is for proper evaluation, which includes doing all of these. So you can see how this can be super useful for medicine and healthcare. This is way better and more thorough than my family doctor. So that's Claude's response. I also wanted to compare the same prompt with DeepSeek, since this is one of my personal favorite models in terms of chatting and thinking. So here's what DeepSeek wrote. Here are all the conditions. What could be going on here? First, I need to consider his history. Since his symptoms have been worsening, it suggests a progressive condition. Putting this all together, the progressive chest pain and shortness of breath could be due to worsening coronary artery disease. Another possibility is etc., etc. It's also important to check if there's any non-compliance with medications, but the question states that he's adherent. Another angle, could the chest pain be something else, like aortic stenosis? Alternatively, maybe he's experiencing this. I should also consider non-cardiac issues, such as pulmonary issues or gastrointestinal issues. So just from a rough scan, it seems like DeepSeek is a bit more thorough compared to Claude. DeepSeek even considers non-cardiac issues, whereas Claude doesn't really do that. Now, interestingly, DeepSeek's answer is kind of different from Claude's answer. So DeepSeek suggested this to be unstable angina or acute coronary syndrome, whereas for Claude, it suggested coronary artery disease. If there are any doctors or heart experts watching this, let me know in the comments below, which answer do you prefer? Which analysis is more correct? Anyways, down here, DeepSeek also recommends some next steps. Another thing I like about DeepSeek is it even gives you some steps on how to manage it right now, whereas Claude doesn't really do that. All right, next, let's test it on some hard physics problem solving. So let's try this university level physics problem. How much heat, I think this is a typo, is necessary to be given off by 56 grams of nitrogen in order to isothermally compress it from the pressure of 100 kPa to the pressure of 500 at the temperature of 300 K. So let me just copy this entire prompt. And by the way, the solution is pretty complex, which is why I chose this problem. Anyways, let me paste the prompt in here, and then let me change the typo. And then over here, again, I will select extended, and this is the better option for reasoning and problem solving. So let's press generate and see if it can figure this out. All right, it has finished thinking through everything, and the answer is indeed 8 kilojoules, as you can see here. And if you expand this thinking window, you can see it reasoning through how to solve this problem. So we can express this in terms of pressures. This gives us this. Next, let's calculate the number of moles of nitrogen. Now I can calculate the heat released, continuing the calculation, etc., etc. But wait, I need to double check the sign convention, and indeed it gives you the correct answer. So that's an example of some pretty hard university level physics problem. So that sums up some of the impressive things you can do with Claude 3.7. However, note that this is not perfect and there are some severe limitations. One limitation is you cannot generate images from this. If you want to do that natively in a chat interface, then Grok 3 would be your best option. You can generate really realistic stuff and pretty wild things like this, and it looks exactly like the person in real life. Plus, there's no voice mode. Again, OpenAI already has an advanced voice feature where you can just chat with the AI using your voice. Gemini also has this feature, and Grok also has this feature. Plus, the problem with Claude, and this is the thing I dislike the most, is it's the most censored model out there. If you ask it anything about drugs, weapons, violence, war, it ain't answering nothing. If you get it to create a video game with a bit of violence, with blood spewing around everywhere, it ain't gonna do that. So if you want more uncensored information, Claude is not the best option. Plus, here's another major problem with Claude. It cannot search the web, so if you need to do research on the most up-to-date information, this might be a deal breaker for you. For example, if I write, "Tell me about DeepSeek R1, which was released this year," here's its response. "I don't have specific reliable information about DeepSeek R1, as my knowledge cutoff is from October 2024, whereas DeepSeek R1 was released in early 2025. I can't verify details about AI models or products released after that date. If you're interested in learning about DeepSeek R1, I'd recommend checking DeepSeek's official website." So as you can see, this is not great for up-to-date information, and it cannot search the web at all. Plus, I want to emphasize that for simple or lower intelligence stuff like writing social media posts, or casual chat, or solving simple problems, honestly, there's no major difference between the top models out there. All of them can do the job really well, including ChatGPT, Google's Gemini, Grok, DeepSeek, and also Qwen. Next, let's go over the specs and performance of Claude 3.7. How good is this compared to other models? So first of all, note that this new Claude 3.7 features a hybrid reasoning model, and this enhances its performance in complex problem solving, which is especially useful for math and coding. As you can see in all the examples I've shown you in this video, it's insanely good at coding. Now, Claude features a standard or normal thinking mode, which basically doesn't think as much and answers you a lot faster. But then we also have this extended thinking feature, which self-reflects before answering, and this improves its performance on math, physics, instruction following, coding, and many other tasks. It allows for deeper analysis and step-by-step reasoning, and you can also see into its thinking process. Note that this extended thinking feature is not available for the free plan, so you do need to subscribe to one of their paid plans in order to access this feature. Finally, let's go over some benchmarks and see how well this actually does compared to other models. Let's start with the benchmarks that they've self-reported, and then we're also going to go over some comparisons from independent evaluators. If you look at software engineering, this just crushes everything. Even the best available version from OpenAI, which is O3 Mini High, it only got 49.3. DeepSeek R1, 49.2. These are all like below 50%. But Claude 3.7 Sonnet scores at least 62.3%. This is a huge margin above the rest of these state-of-the-art models. So this is insanely impressive. 3.7 is currently the best option for coding. And then if you look at agentic tool use, this is basically testing its ability to act as an agent and use different computer interfaces. Note that again, Claude 3.7 is even better than OpenAI's O1. Now they might be cherry picking here. They did not compare this with like Qwen, which is really good at agentic use. So just keep that in mind. They might be only picking models that Claude 3.7 can actually beat. Now, speaking of agentic use, here's a completely new benchmark. How good is AI at playing Pokemon? So here's a chart that they showed where Claude 3.5 could only get past the Viridian Forest, but Claude 3.7 Sonnet just blew past all these levels, and it reached all the way in getting Surge's badge. And this just demonstrates how good its agentic capabilities are. It's basically just analyzing the screen of the game and then deciding what to do. However, again, note that they're only comparing 3.7 with earlier versions of Claude. They're not including other competitor models here, so it's really hard to see if 3.7 is actually better than, let's say, OpenAI or DeepSeek in terms of playing Pokemon. And then here's another useful table which gives you a sense of what Claude 3.7 is good at. So for graduate level questions, if you don't turn on this extended thinking feature, then it actually sucks. It's worse than OpenAI's O1, DeepSeek R1, and Grok 3. Only if you turn on this extended thinking feature do you get a higher performance that's on par with Grok 3. And then coding, we went over before. Claude 3.7 is by far the best model out there. I mean, it's not even close. Agentic tool use, again, we've gone over this. And then multilingual Q&A, still below OpenAI's O1, which was released a few months ago. For visual reasoning, this is like uploading an image for it to analyze. Again, it's good, but not the best. It's still beat by OpenAI's O1 and Grok 3. In terms of instruction following, it is the best. In terms of math problem solving, even with the deep thinking mode, it's still slightly behind OpenAI's O1, O3 Mini, and DeepSeek. Same with competitive math, it's not the best model out there. Next, let's look at some independent leaderboards. So here's one by Livebench by Abacus AI. Now, interestingly here, Claude 3.7 thinking is at the top of the charts with a global average of 76, just slightly above O3 Mini High. Interestingly here, its coding average is actually a lot lower than O3 Mini High, but it does beat O3 Mini in terms of mathematics and data analysis and language. If we look at this other leaderboard called LM Arena, where users can blind test different AI models, I do not see Claude 3.7 on this list yet. I only see the latest version of 3.5, which is all the way in 19th place. So at least at the time of this recording, we don't know how good Claude 3.7 performs in this LM Arena. Here's another independent evaluator called Artificial Analysis, and interestingly, Claude 3.7 Sonnet is all the way down here, in 8th place, even behind Gemini and DeepSeek and O1 and O3 Mini. Now, I think this might be the non-thinking model, but nevertheless, this is not a good result. Notice how much more expensive it is per million tokens compared to other even better models. So we're getting some mixed results. So it's important to look at multiple leaderboards so you can get an objective sense of how good a model is. Finally, we have this benchmark called Humanity's Last Exam, which is a very misleading name. This does not mean AGI. This does not mean once AI can pass this test that it's going to destroy humans and take over the world. This is basically a set of really challenging questions from really specialized subjects that most people don't even know about. So here are some sample questions. And if you look at the results, Claude 3.7 Sonnet scored 8.9, so slightly above DeepSeek R1 and OpenAI's O1, but below even the regular version of O3 Mini. Anyways, that sums up its specs and performance, and this brings us to the ultimate question. Should you use Claude? Is it the best? Sure, but maybe only for like 48 hours. After that, GPT 4.5 is gonna roll out and completely destroy it. And then probably the following week, DeepSeek R2 will come out, which will destroy everything else. It just never ends. At this rate, I might never have time to go on vacation. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this video. Let me know in the comments what you think of this. If you had a chance to use Claude 3.7, let me know your experience with it so far. What cool or impressive things were you able to create from this? As always, I will be on the lookout for the top AI news and tools to share with you. So if you enjoyed this video, remember to like, share, subscribe, and stay tuned for more content. Also, there's just so much happening in the world of AI every week, I can't possibly cover everything on my YouTube channel. So to really stay up to date with all that's going on in AI, be sure to subscribe to my free weekly newsletter. The link to that will be in the description below. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next one.